Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello from the Voice of America's Learning English branch in Washington. And welcome to As It Is, a free daily 30-minute program that helps you learn everyday American English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz. It's Monday, December 28th, 2015. It was on this day in 2010, 5 years ago, that popular protests began in Tunisia against the government, leading to an uprising throughout the Middle East that would come to be called the Arab Spring. 1 year ago today, Indonesia Air Asia Flight 8501 crashed. The plane had left Surabaya for Singapore. All 162 people on the plane were killed. Today on the program, we'll tell you about some high-tech devices you can use to enjoy holiday music. Then, as we always do on Mondays, we will bring you the technology report. This week, we will report on the effect robots are having on our jobs. What work will there be left for humans to do in 20 years? And finally, as we do every weekday, we will present The Making of a Nation. Today, we will bring you back to the 1800s, a time when the federal government forced American Indians, now known as Native Americans, to live on lands called reservations. No longer could the Indians move freely over the Great Plains to hunt buffalo. White people were settling there. The situation resulted in violence. So, you can see, we have a lot for you today. Every day here on As It Is, we bring you news from and about America and the world. And we tell you the often surprising and always interesting history of the United States. We are a little different here at VOA Learning English because we exist to help you learn everyday American English. We speak a little slower than normal, and we use words that are easy to understand. Listen to the program, then practice saying the words and sentences the way we do. It's a free and easy way to improve your American English skills every day of the year. We're on the radio, on the web, and we come to you on a podcast. We are wherever you are. We're the Voice of America.
Technology makes listening to holiday music easier than ever. There are endless sources to help you find your favorite Christmas tunes and many other songs. Today we explore ways to listen to holiday music with high-tech devices. This is the first year you can use Apple Music to find and listen to holiday songs. Apple Music has more than 30 million songs and is available in over 100 countries. Search for holiday music to find playlists, such as Trimming the Tree, and Country Holiday. You can also listen to holiday music stations such as Swingin' Holiday and Latin Holiday. Tell Voice Assistant Siri to play holiday music. To open the music program on your iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV. The music app will provide holiday playlists and stations. Have an Android phone? Apple Music app is available in the Google Play Store, but not with voice commands. You can also listen to Apple Music on your computer through the iTunes Store or on Apple TV. Apple Music is free for the first 3 months. After that, users must pay a subscription fee. Google Play Music is also in the holiday spirit. Go to the Google Play Music holiday page or app and search for holiday music. Google Play Music is available for free if you don't mind the advertisements. If you do, buy a paid subscription to avoid them. Google Play Music offers more than 30 million songs in 58 countries. The service is available on your computer and through apps on your Android phone and iPhone. Live 365 is an internet radio service. Listen to its music on your computer or mobile device. The service has 158 Christmas music stations, such as Contemporary Christmas, Christmas Breezes, and Classical Christmas. You can also listen to Cornucopia of Chrismica if you want to combine music from Christmas and Hanukkah. Live 365 is free and available around the world. A paid membership is available. It lets you listen to more stations and listen without advertisements. Spotify, another online service, is filled with holiday music. Listen to playlists on Spotify by searching for holiday music. The playlists include Merry Christmas, the best holiday music, Pure Christmas Music, and Pure Holiday Music. Listen to radio stations from around the world with TuneIn Radio. This online service offers stations from all 7 continents, including Antarctica. TuneIn Radio is available on your computer and by using their app. TuneIn Radio is free to online users. In the United States, Britain, and Canada, a paid subscription gives you additional stations without advertisements. YouTube can be an endless source of holiday music. Search for, you guessed it, holiday music to find videos that pair holiday music with scenes of snow, sentiment, and Santa. A popular American tradition for people without a real fireplace is to watch the Yule log on TV or another device. YouTube offers not only the roaring Yule log fire, but music to match. Happy holidays! From VOA Learning English, I'm Kathleen Strzok.
Now, as we do every Monday, we bring you the technology report. Almost half of jobs in the United States are likely to be automated within the next 20 years. That prediction comes from researchers at the University of Oxford in England. As our technology correspondent Jonathan Evans tells us, the researchers think more and more machines will be given jobs that humans have traditionally performed.
Robots now work in the food industry and build cars. Other robots can be programmed to welcome people as they arrive at a store or hotel. The workplace has become increasingly dependent on machines. It comes as no surprise that many workers are becoming concerned about the future. Among them are millennials, people who became adults since the year 2000. Nigel Dessau is a business expert. He was born in England, but now lives in Massachusetts. Mr. Dessau wrote the book, Become a 21st Century Executive. He thinks the trend away from human workers and towards robots will not go away. What we've seen in the U.S. and some of the more Western industrialized countries over the last 25 years is the removal of entry-level jobs and the removal of the simple, repetitive manufacturing jobs. Mr. Dessau says there are ways that workers, especially millennials, can get used to this new, robot-centered reality. When looking to build a career in this century, you have to think more about other sets of skills that you need to get, he says, and I typically focus on three. The first, he says, is content or substance. So that's what do you know? What do you bring that a machine doesn't know? The next value is approach. By this, he means a way of doing things. How do you get to work with other people? How can you lead a team? And finally, he says, workers should be directing their attention on their network, in other words, their contacts. Who knows what you know and what you can do? So focus less on the processes because those are what get automated. Focus more on the content and the ability to work as a team. Mr. Dessau adds that millennials often have a way of thinking which sets them apart from other generations. When you talk to that generation and you say, what do you want for a job? What you see them talking about is they want jobs they can be passionate about, jobs that fulfill some greater purpose, he says. At the end of the day, it is your career. It is your life. And you must make decisions to make your life successful, and you can't blame robots, and you can't blame automation. Don't delegate the responsibility for your success to something or somebody else. I'm Jonathan Evans.
Thanks, Jonathan. Now, it is time for our popular series, The Making of a Nation. Today, we bring you back to the 1800s, a time when the federal government forced American Indians, now known as Native Americans, to live on lands called reservations. No longer could they move freely over the Great Plains to hunt buffalo, because white people were settling there. The situation resulted in violence. Now, here are Kay Gallant and Harry Monroe to continue the story of the Western Wars.
The government sent soldiers to force the Indians to move to reservations. But the soldiers could not keep them there. Groups of Indians would leave the reservations in the spring. They followed the buffalo across the plains. Some raided the homes of white settlers. They stole horses and cattle. At the end of the summer, the Indians would return to the reservations, and the government would give them food for the winter.
As years passed, fewer Indians left the reservations to live the old life on the plains. It became difficult to find buffalo. The plains were becoming empty. Only a few years before, millions of buffalo lived on the Great Plains. Then railroads were built across the country. White men came to claim the grasslands. They put up fences. Cowboys came up from Texas with huge groups of cattle. They forced the buffalo away or killed them. The Indians tried to prevent this killing. Angry groups of Indians often attacked white buffalo hunters. But the army was too strong. Soldiers killed or captured many Indians. Finally, most Indians gave up the struggle. They surrendered their guns and horses. They went back to the reservations and became farmers.
All this was taking place in what is now the south central part of the United States. Far to the north, another struggle was taking place involving the Great Sioux Indian tribe. The Sioux had signed a treaty with the government in 1868. The treaty gave them a large reservation in what is now Nebraska, South Dakota, and Wyoming. The Black Hills in Dakota were part of the reservation. These hills were important to the Sioux. In their religion, the Black Hills were a holy place. They were the center of their world, where the gods lived. They were the place where Indian fighters went to speak with the Great Spirit.
In 1873, the Black Hills suddenly became important to white men, too. Gold was discovered there. Treaties and religion meant nothing to the white miners who rushed to the Black Hills to search for gold. At first, the Indians killed some of the miners. They chased others away. But more miners came. The Sioux tribe asked the government to enforce the treaty. Tribal leaders asked the government to keep white men away from the reservation. The army sent soldiers to remove the miners. The soldiers ordered the miners to leave, but they made no effort to enforce the order. Again, the Indians protested. This time, the government sent officials to negotiate a new treaty. It asked the Sioux Indians to give up the Black Hills. Some of the Indian leaders refused to negotiate. One who rejected the invitation was Sitting Bull. "I do not want to sell any land to the government," Chief Sitting Bull said. He held a little dust between his fingers. "Not even this much."
This resistance did not stop government efforts to get the Black Hills for the miners. The War Department sent General George Crook to punish the Indians and forced them back to their reservation. Crook led a large force into Sioux country. He surprised an Indian village, capturing hundreds of horses. There was another clash a few months later. This time, the result was very different. The Indians gave the army its worst defeat in almost a century.
The battle took place near the Little Bighorn River. General George Custer led 212 soldiers in search of the Indian leader Crazy Horse. As General Custer moved through the river valley, he sent men ahead to explore the area. His men returned with reports that thousands of Indians were waiting to attack. Custer refused to listen. He pushed forward. Soon, his forces were surrounded by Indians. In less than an hour, the Indians killed the general and every one of his men. The white soldiers lay dead at Little Bighorn. And Custer's name would go down in history as a symbol of foolish pride in battle. The battle at Little Bighorn was a serious defeat for the United States Army. But the Indians' victory did not last long. Within a year, the Army forced most of the Sioux to surrender. It took the Black Hills for the miners. It moved the Indians to a new reservation.
In the next few years, the same thing happened to other Indian tribes throughout the West. Under great pressure from white settlers, the government took land from the Indians and opened it to settlement. The size of Indian reservations was reduced again and again. One by one, the Indian tribes of the West changed. Their fierce fighters became farmers who needed government help. They were weak and broken in spirit. One Indian leader named Black Elk described the situation best. He was a survivor of a battle at a place called Wounded Knee. Many Indian women and children had died there. Years later, Black Elk said, "I did not know then how much was ended. When I look back now from this high hill of my old age, I can still see the dead lying all over the ground. And I can see that something else died there in the bloody mud and was buried. A people's dream died there."
Some Indians turned to religion during this difficult time. An Indian religious leader named Wovoka gained influence. Wovoka declared that the Great Spirit had chosen him to prepare the Indians for a new world. He said the new world would arrive soon, and it would be a wonderful world. There would be no white men, he said, and all dead Indians would come back to life. Wovoka warned that new soil would rise up and cover the world like a flood. He said Indians could escape destruction by dancing a special dance. It was called the Ghost Dance. Wovoka said the ghost dance would make Indians powerful. He said it would even protect them from bullets fired by the white men's guns.
Thousands of Indians in the American West listened to Wovoka's message. They believed him, and they began to dance for long hours every day. on the Sioux reservations, all other activities stopped. Children no longer went to school. No one did anything but dance. All this frightened white officials. They tried to arrest some Indian leaders to stop the dancing. The arrests led to fighting, and the fighting led to a final battle in which the army defeated the Indians completely. The Indian wars were over. Wovoka himself told his followers, "Our trails are covered with grass and sand. We cannot find them. Today, I call upon you to travel a new trail. It is the only trail now open. The white man's road."
That's our program for today. We hope it has informed and entertained you, and has helped you learn everyday American English. We truly want to hear what interests you. Tell us what you want to hear about, and you may hear stories about your interests on a future show. Our email address is learningenglish@voanews.com. That's learningenglish@voanews.com. And remember, we read every message you send us. You can follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, iTunes, Twitter, and on our YouTube channel, all at VOA Learning English. And be sure to listen to VOA World News at the beginning of every hour, Universal Time, every day of the year. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz at the Voice of America's Learning English branch in Washington. For all of us here, thank you for spending some time with us today. We'll be back tomorrow at this same time to help you learn everyday American English with another broadcast, webcast, and podcast edition of As It Is from The Voice of America.